The Green Bay Packers and Kansas City Chiefs meet on Monday Night Football for a nationally televised showdown. To preview the game, we're joined by longtime media member John Mino. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a Monday Night Football game. And to do that, to preview the game, we're joined by a guest this morning.
Expert interview.
We're joined by longtime media member John Mino. Mr. Mino, how are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Can you pick a better day for Monday Night Football? Get going this morning. This is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's been fun to see on Mike and Mike in the morning. They're broadcasting right outside the stadium. There's people out there. It's a beautiful fall day. Absolutely great. But let's talk about this game. I know there's a lot of people out there interested in the status of Eddie Lacy and Davante Adams. There's you know, in addition to just Green Bay Packers fan, there's the casual football fan who's got them on their fantasy team that wants to know what's happening with these guys. They were upgraded to probable. Do you see any problems with these players heading into tonight's game?
No, I really don't. You know, the Packers are always very cautious. In saying anything. In fact, if anybody leaves the ball game and goes into the trainer's room during the course of a game, they always say a return is questionable no matter what. Mm-hmm. So they err on the point of caution. So if they're saying probable, I would say definite. But if there was any chance they weren't going to, I think it would be questionable. I think this extra day has really helped them. You know, sometimes you just need literally another 24 hours to get up and running. And I hope that's the case. Eddie Lacy and Davante Adams are two big cogs in this football team right now. And we got such a nice thing going, you'd really hate to take any sort of a step backward right now. But I would be surprised if we didn't see them both out there.
Yeah, I think that's good news, and the Packers could certainly use their services tonight. But in other injury news, Morgan Burnett has been downgraded, the opposite situation from questionable to out. Now, in week one, the Packers gave up a ton of rushing yards to the Bears without Burnett. But in week two against the Seahawks with Burnett, they did a good job against Marshawn Lynch. Does that worry you about the Packers playing without their starting safety?
You know what he reminds me a lot of, Brian? He reminds me a lot of Nick Collins.
Okay.
When the Packers watched Nick Collins, it seems like that defense took a couple of years to rebound. Actually, it took until Morgan Burnett grew into that position to really rebound. And it just seems like when you lose one of those two guys, they really struggle. And, you know, they've got a lot of very talented, athletic defensive backs back there. But there was something that Morgan Burnett brought to the table, or does bring to the table, with his run-stopping abilities. I know they'd like Sean Richardson to develop that way. They loved what he did on special teams, and they love the way he kicks, but he hasn't developed into that stopgap guy for a run-filled safety either. And that's a very big cog, I think, in that defense.
So I'm assuming probably who's going to take Morgan Burnett's spot is Micah Hyde. What's your comfort level with Micah Hyde playing that safety position if Burnett can't go?
Average. I think he's okay, but he's not as good, plain and simple. And, you know, I watched the Seattle-Chicago game yesterday. And Forte, you know, he's Forte. He's got a lot of skills, but he sure looked better against the Packers than he did against Seattle. And I think that this secondary, the one thing they just don't do well is tackle. Last week, I thought they improved a bunch from the Chicago game. But, you know, it's just, I don't think Ha Ha Clinton Dix is a good, solid tackler. He lowers his head way too much. He gets caught on the inside instead of, you know, manning that edge on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Shields is up and down, had a great first play of the game last week. But I just think Morgan Burnett is the glue and it's almost infectious with those guys. Morgan Burnett sets the stage, and those guys follow his lead. So that's what Micah Hyde's going to have to do if, in fact, he's in that role, make everybody else play better.
I hope they can survive this game without Morgan Burnett. But elsewhere on defense, last week we saw Clay Matthews play inside linebacker the whole game. Do you think we'll see more of that now that Sam Barrington's been lost for the season, or do you think he'll play outside linebacker occasionally? Is this a week-to-week thing? What's going on with Clay Matthews?
Well, I think it's an opponent-to-opponent type thing is what it is.
Okay.
If there's a great quarterback out there, I think you'll see Clay Matthews more on the outside rushing the quarterback. If it's a great running back like the Jamal Charles, I think you'll see him more on the inside. It's one great thing they've got with Clay is he's so flexible and he's so smart. I mean, the play he made against Cutler with an interception was just unbelievably instinctual and athletic and all those sorts of things. He's a special player, but I really think it depends on whether or not the opposing team is a better running team or a throwing team.
Yeah, Jamal Charles, he's such a talented running back. The Packers could certainly stand to stop him this evening. But speaking of outside linebacker, what's your concern level with this groin injury to Mike Neal that's resurfaced?
Yeah, that thing just won't go away, it seems like. I don't know what you can say anymore. You know, these guys do all the training in the world, do all the nutrition in the world, and they still get these things that just linger and linger and linger. I don't know what it is. I've actually talked to sports doctors about this, and a lot of doctors think these guys literally work out too much and lift too much, and their muscles are too tight. I had a doctor tell me, you know what football players do all week long? They should swim. He said if they swam, their muscles would be so much more flexible. You can't believe it. But all this weightlifting and some of the things they do make them so tight and so much more susceptible to pulls. You might have a point there. I mean, that might be the revolutionary thing because so many of these guys get the hamstrings, the hip, the groin-type holes that just nag them for an entire season.
Yeah, they seem to have do well with yoga last year, too. There was a little bit of attention on that. I don't know if that's the answer, but it's unfortunate this has resurfaced. Hopefully he gets
better
soon. We're talking to John Mino here on Railbird Central on a Monday morning prior to the Packers-Chiefs game this evening. And Mr. Mino, turning our attention to the offensive side of the football, how long do you think Aaron Rodgers can keep this streak going of not throwing an interception at home? It's like every week we're talking about this every time the Packers play at Lambeau Field.
All right, that's a nice job, Ryan. You're like those announcers that say, hey, we're heading against the A's. He's got a no-hitter going.
The thing is, he's already got the record. Now he's just extending it.
Yeah, good point. I'll tell you what, he is so smart. He is so savvy. What he does right now, and you wouldn't, you know, the guy's coming off an MVP year, and he was hobbled all last year, it seemed like. And you think to yourself, well, he's not going to get any better this year. Now he's a year older and everything. Watching him in that Seattle game, watching him in the Chicago game, the man runs the show. It's incredible. And even on those little things that he did, as far as quickly spotting that Seattle had 12 men on the field, how he saw that where that guy was 2 feet from the sideline and he spotted that. Against the Bears, he just commanded that field. He knows where everybody is, not just on his team, but the opposing team. It's remarkable watching this guy. It really is. We really need to sit back and just enjoy this run of him and watch the little things he does. I mean, last week against Seattle, he did such a remarkable job of sensing where the pressure was coming when he was back in the pocket, finding the open place for him to get a clear vision of the field and finding his receivers. He is something special. I don't mean to blow smoke and be the biggest, you know, Aaron Rodgers fan in the world or anything, but just casual football fans, watch this guy and see what he does. Not just with his arm, with all sorts of little things on a football field. It's very, very special.
Yeah, we're watching him in the prime of his career, and it's he could end up going down as one of the best ever. The guys guarding him, blocking for him, do you think Don Barclay and David Bakhtiari will be able to handle Chiefs pass rushers Justin Houston and Tom Bahali?
I don't know. Bakhtiari, obviously still a young guy, still needs to play better. He still needs to really become a solid professional. Mm-hmm. The thing he did last week when the defensive lineman jumped a little bit and he jumped in, you can't do that. I know he's playing in a very difficult spot out there at left tackle, going up against just tremendous pass rushers, but he just has to be good. If he's not good, the team's not good because you have to have a solid left tackle. You just have to. You know what I mean? There's like no excuses, no whatever. And the thing is Barclay. We know what he's got to fill in. He's a capable fill-in, but he's not Brian Bulaga.
Yep.
So the one thing, the one negative on this season so far as the fact they've got two nice wins over the Bears and Seahawks, two teams you pretty much love to see get defeated, but it's a little worrisome. Nobody's really talking about it, but boy, I mean, there's, you know, injury after injury after injury, every game, almost every practice, you know, every week of practice, they lose somebody without kidding anybody. It's like, oh, don't tell me that whole bugaboo's going to come into, you know, to play again. I mean, Burnett, basically in practice, Bulaga in practice, Jordy Nelson, a glorified practice. That's the scary, frustrating part, that this team, which is very, very good, might not reach its zenith because of these little nagging injuries that seem to pile up. So we'll see, but that is a little worrisome.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of coming back to Eddie Lacy here, I know we briefly talked about him before, but do you think it'll be a situation where he shares more carries with James Starks than usual in an attempt to like keep him healthy and maybe not put too much stress on him?
Yeah, I think they like what Starks is bringing to the table. I mean, I think he helped lead them to the Super Bowl a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, knock on wood, he's got it's also had trouble avoiding injuries. But I think he's running hard. He's slashing. He's tough to bring down with those high knees that he brings up. He's a nice ball player. The only thing, to be honest with you, that I still kind of scratch my head over, I thought Rajon Neal had himself a real nice training camp. I thought he was a little bit of a poor man's Gary Ellis. Do you remember Gary Ellis at all?
Oh, yeah.
Here,
yeah.
Dave, Brian.
Yeah,
he was great
80s.
Coming out of the backfield, catching them. Yeah, great coming out of the backfield, catching the ball. Also a tough runner inside. I thought Rajon Neal would have been a perfect third down or number three running back in that game and could get some playing time right now. That was a little bit of a shocker that he was cut in that last touchdown.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if we see Alonzo Harris for his
right.
debut tonight. So we'll see
I've
what
never
he.
Seen him. I've never seen him play. Basically, have you? I mean, you
well,
know what I mean?
a little in the preseason. Yeah.
Yeah.
He ended up having that hand injury. He was the one who was right. carrying the football with the cast.
I know, but I don't know what he did in training camp to somehow beat out Rajon Neal. Well, I thought it had a really, really solid preseason.
Yeah, I guess they like the power back more than the scat back, I suppose, is what I think. But can we get a prediction from you for the game?
Well, I think they'll beat them. I really and truly do. I would say it's going to be a little bit high scoring. I'm going to say about 31-24.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with. I do think Morgan Burnett being out is going to hurt them. Jamal Charles is what he is. You know, the quarterback for Kansas City is what he is, pretty average guy, but he can get hot. I've seen that at times, too. But KC's got a tough defensive line, I will say that. And they're going to try to get as much pressure on Aaron Rodgers as humanly possible. And I think they'll also be loading up the box, especially if Devontae Adams, is even just hurting a little bit. I think they will load the box and really try to shut the Packers down offensively, put pressure on Rodgers and not give up much on the run. But they're a nice team, but this Packer team is pretty darn good too. So I'm just looking forward to a really great Monday night matchup. I mean, these are the kind of things, if you live in Wisconsin, these are the kind of things that make it all special. Just putting up with those, you know, 60 degree below zero days and everything else, those long months of January and February after the season is over. So look forward to these kind of days. Again, just pinch yourself, Packer fans. It's pretty good to be here in Wisconsin on a day like this.
Yeah, this is one to savor. But, John, before we let you go, can you let our listeners know about where to go to listen to your podcast? I know you got a personal website now you kind of use as a clearinghouse or an outlet for your work.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll let you know on that, Brian. The server we were using, and not to get technical talk because I'm not a technical person, but the server we were using was using up too much of the listeners' data.
Okay.
Okay. So people kept talking. You got to find a new carrier. My data is getting destroyed on your thing, but we want to listen. So I'm actually in negotiations with some other carriers as we speak to make it more user friendly, I guess, for the listeners.
Gotcha.
So if you have any suggestions on that, please let me know.
All right. Will do. Will do. It's johnmino.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You know, as a guy who's grew up in northern Wisconsin, in Krivitz, I grew up. And I grew up listening to you on the local news and everything. So it's glad to have you on the show this morning and glad to hear your voice.
My pleasure. I didn't know you're a Krivitz boy.
Yes. Grew up there and Yeah, would watch you on Channel 5. I mean, we're talking back more than a decade ago when I was...
Absolutely. Wow, that's cool. Love Crimmins. Yeah. Love going up to those little places on the lake and everything up there. One of my favorite little towns in the world.
Yes, yes. Good vacation area. But, Mr. Mile, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate your insight, and we'll have you again on sometime.
My pleasure, Brian. Anytime. Keep up the great work, buddy.
All right. Take care. John Mino joining us on the show on a Monday morning here prior to a Monday night football game between the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show with our next segment.
Packers news of the day.
Over the past 24 hours, the big news is the change in the injury reports, which we kind of alluded to a little bit earlier. Everything was pushed back a day this week in the atypical Monday night football game, the only one the Packers are going to play this season. So it's all, you know, mostly Sundays. And, well, it's kind of weird that we actually get the two Thursday night football games back to back later in the year. But we'll address those in November for the time being here. The Packers came out with their injury report just to put everything in perspective here. Their last injury report on Saturday, and they don't practice on Saturday, so that's why you saw them on Saturday. You saw Eddie Lacy and Davante Adams and Aaron Ripkowski. They were all listed as questionable, and in fact, Morgan Burnett was too. They were all listed as questionable. Then the Packers actually now, just as of last season, they moved their last day of practice to the day before the game. They never used to do that, but now they've kind of found out physiologically that's kind of the good thing to do to get your body prepared for a game. So you practice the day before, actually. So on Sunday they practiced. And now that they saw these guys out on the field, they got a better idea of where their health status is at. And the good news, if we're going to go there, start with that. Eddie Lacy, Davante Adams, Aaron Ripkowski, all upgraded to probable. Looks like they're going to play. If you're out there doing daily fantasy football now, you can be a little bit more confident that Eddie Lacy and Davante Adams, that they are going to play. Maybe they're not going to be 100%, but they are going to play. So maybe you don't want to use it for your daily fantasy football team from that perspective, if they're maybe not at 100%, but they're going to play. They're going to play. The bad news is that Morgan Burnett, who was listed as questionable, they saw him at practice on Sunday, downgraded to out. I suppose they were kind of hopeful that maybe he would get better. It's not looking like it. They're just going to shut him down and try to get him better. And it's unfortunate because he sat out the season opener with the calf injury that's now been re-aggravated. Came back in week two, and you think, well, he's getting better, but now he re-aggravates it, suffers another injury, makes it worse, and now he's going to be out for this game. And you worry that it's going to have an impact in what the Packers are trying to do, especially trying to stop Jamaal Charles. I mean, he's kind of the focal point of that offense. Not that he's the only piece you got to worry about. They got a very nice emerging tight end in Travis Kelce there. And you can't ignore Alex Smith, even if he's not the best quarterback in the NFL. But Jamaal Charles, again, the centerpiece, the guy, the Pro Bowler, the guy who's rushed for 1,000 yards in three out of the past 4 years, just a talented, talented guy, and a guy who can do it coming out of the backfield, catching the ball as much as he can, running the football. So that's the concern, is that without Morgan Burnett, they're going to be a little bit at a disadvantage there. With guys who normally don't play the position, like Micah Hyde, who's normally your slot nickel sub-package cornerback. Instead, he's going to be playing safety today. And the Packers going to have to make do. They're going to try to have to stop Jamaal Charles. And, they struggled week one against Matt Forte. Because I think you can make closer comparisons to Jamal Charles to Matt Forte than you can Jamal Charles to Marshawn Lynch, who the Packers stuffed in week two. Marshawn Lynch, more of the power back, the guy who's between the tackles, whereas Jamal Charles is a little bit more shiftier, a guy who's the threat out of the backfield, a little bit more speed to the edge. So now they're going to have to deal with that again, and they didn't deal with that all that great against Forte in week one. So, again, unfortunate, Packers not going to have Morgan Burnett with us. Hopefully it's another 1 week thing. You know, they missed him at the season opener. He comes back week two. Hopefully it's the same case where he misses week three, ends up coming back week four. I don't know. I don't have the crystal ball. We can't look that much in the future yet. All we know is he's going to miss the Monday night football game for sure. Downgraded to out. Not doubtful, he's out. He will not play whatsoever. So you can't even hold out a glimmer of hope at this point for Morgan Burnett, which is a sad thing if you're the Green Bay Packers defense and want to see them stuff Jamal Charles. So it's not getting any easier without him. And what's interesting too is the guy who's another guy whose status hasn't changed, Sean Richardson. He's questionable for this game with an ankle injury. He was just added to the injury report on Saturday. Apparently got through the first 2 days of practice this week, Thursday, Friday, just fine. Added to the injury report on Saturday with a questionable injury. So now the Packers are in a little bit of a situation at the safety position. I don't know. Maybe, you know, that Sean Richardson is a guy you can hold out hope maybe he will play. But questionable kind of puts him in that 50-50 category. But I mean, let's assume for a second Richardson doesn't play, Burnett doesn't play. Now the Packers down to, I mean, you got Ha-Ha Clindick, so he's healthy. You've got Micah Hyde back there taking Burnett's place. And then you've got basically Chris Banjo as your third safety and the lone real true safety backup at the position. You know, it could be a situation where the Packers had to kind of give some of these cornerbacks a crash course on the safety position, like maybe Quentin Rollins that they kind of gave a crash course to. You know, he was inactive last week. He's probably going to necessarily be active this week just because of the injury situation. You know, he could end up being an emergency safety where all of a sudden if they were to suffer another injury during the game, he might be a guy they turn to. And again, that's just my speculation, nothing I've heard of before, but with two safeties on the injury report, Packers going to have to be prepared for some contingencies there should anything happen to during the game, knock on wood. And not that we're wishing that, but you gotta be prepared just in case. And then I suppose what's perhaps a little bit good here is I was worried, said before, Aaron Ripkowski was added to the injury report, him and Sean Richardson. Those two guys were such an integral part of the Packers special teams and what they've been able to do that was unfortunate to see them added to the injury report and kind of have their status in question, although it looks like certainly Ripkowski's going to play, which is good. But I think it was really remarkable what the Packers did last week against the Seahawks in stuffing Tyler Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks, the amazing return specialist who you saw yesterday against the Chicago Bears. He returned another kick for a touchdown. He's looking like he's the best return specialist in the NFL. And the Packers shut him down. He had maybe like one nice return on a punt. But in terms of kickoffs, they really covered him very well. Tyler Lockett has scored since entering the NFL. I'm counting the preseason here. But between, you know, preseason and the, you know, 3 weeks into the regular season, he's already returned four kicks for touchdowns. I mean, this kid is amazing, and Packers bottled him up a week ago, so they could really use, you know, an all hands on deck effort from Aaron Ripkowski, from Sean Richardson. I don't know if they're going to get that, especially from Richardson, but that's kind of a maybe an underlying under the radar storyline that's not going to get much attention. But that's why you're listening to Railbird Central. We give it the attention here on the show instead. But continuing on here, next segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, well, duh, what's happening in the day ahead? You know, normally on our Monday morning podcasts, we don't preview a game later in the day. But that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs, 7:30 p.m. Central Time kickoff, televised on ESPN, heard on your radio dial on the Packer Radio Network regionally. There's over like 50 stations that can be heard across the Midwest, and streamed online if you have the NFL Game Pass subscription. That's the only official way to listen to the game online, and then afterwards you can view it later. You can't view it streaming online live. They only offer the video after the game is over, but you can listen to the radio broadcast, though, online. And the one interesting thing about today's game is, it's, of course, Super Bowl 50 this year. And to honor that, they're going back to Super Bowl I. So the very going from 50 to the first ever edition, and of course, who played in that game? The Packers beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Vince Lombardi beating Hank Stram's Kansas City Chiefs, and they've invited back the alumni from that game. For what they're calling the 50th anniversary, which is technically incorrect. It's really the 49th anniversary of Super Bowl I. I don't know if there's a term for that to call this the 50th. Again, I don't know. It's technically not the 50th anniversary. It's the 49th, but that they're honoring the Super Bowl I team. Well, understandably, nationally televised here, and what they're going to do is they're going to honor them at halftime of the game. They're going to announce all the players. They'll come onto the field. They'll acknowledge them. And then before the game, for the coin flip, your honorary captains are the same captains for Super Bowl I. So Willie Davis and Bob Skowronski going to trot out there with the Packers captains tonight for the coin toss. It'll be a really cool moment to see, and that'll be fun to watch. So that's kind of the added bonus for tonight's game. The one thing that they really tried to hype up here to honor the Super Bowl I team on the same date that the Packers play the Kansas City Chiefs, which is a pretty rare occurrence during the regular season. They only play those AFC opponents once every 4 years. So it's pretty rare when, they not only play the Kansas City Chiefs, but get to play them on kind of a big platform. When a game's going to be televised, not regionally, this isn't going to be, there's nothing else sharing that the Packers have to share with here. The whole nation, coast to coast gets to see this game. So will be fun to watch. You can look forward to that this evening. But that'll do it. My prediction for the game, my 2 cents, I'm calling for a close game. 28-27, I'm going with the Packers. What really pushed me into this only one-point margin of victory is that all the Packers' skill position players, Aaron Rodgers is fine, but it's the guy he distributes the ball to. I'm worried about them a little bit. Eddie Lacy, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb with his shoulder, all these guys less than 100%, all listed on the injury report. That gives me a little bit of concern. You know, these are the guys who are going to be, you count upon to score the touchdowns. It worries me that they're not going to be 100%. They're going to be limited. I can't pick against the Packers at home. That Lambeau Field advantage, though, that I think, kind of trumps everything now that the Packers are on a 10-game winning streak. But I think the Packers are going to be in for a battle here.
especially with Jamaal Charles running the football, and then they got Justin Houston and Tom Bahali rushing the passer. I think they're going to give the Packers all kinds of fits. This may not be a pretty game, and maybe a little bit of an ugly game. You may see Aaron Rodgers' record of throwing interceptions come to an end this week. If there's ever a week, this might be it, where they play a good opponent. But anyway.
Yeah, you can see it's past 9 o'clock. I'm now getting calls, so that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. I'll see you later. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday to recap the game. But we'll see you, folks. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the game this evening, and go, Pack, go. I leave you tonight with a song called Colliding by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Enjoy the game.